This is a podcast from Minute Media.
Hashtag no music, no intro. Feels like it's getting closer to football season because it is getting closer to football season. Another episode of Hashtag Same Sort of Podcast for you, for y'all. I'm excited about this episode. We talked about it a little bit on the last episode. Please, if you haven't gone and listened to the full recaps, reviews, previews, whatever you want to call it for the AFC and the NFC, please listen to those. They were good and also time consuming, but good work on our part if I want to give ourselves some credit. But this episode, we're going to really focus on training camp officially starts next Wednesday. The rookies already reported, and as football season gets closer, it's now like, what are our five most burning questions? So each of us, Ryan and myself, came up with five burning questions that we're going to ask out loud, and like just sizzling questions that we have that we're going to discuss before training camp starts next Wednesday. But before we get into that, I did want to make a few announcements. First one is both of the fantasy football hashtag Same Sort of Podcast fantasy football leagues are full. Excluding ourselves, we were able to get 21 people. So we're doing two leagues, 12 people in each league. Ryan was relieved to find out that he didn't have to be in the second one. Instead, we got another listener was able to take his spot. So shout out to our dude Frederick in the Discord and on Twitter, who was able to get that last spot in the fantasy football league, our last one. Before we get into our segment and the topic of our show of the five most burning questions, let's recap some news NFL wise. Let's recap some news Saints wise. So I'm going to start with just the NFL before we go heavy Saints. Kyler Murray got a contract extension. Mm-hmm. Man, it's crazy how money can heal some wounds, bro. Because I remember a couple of months ago, like March, April, bro, I was like, they going to get rid of Kyler, bro? Like, it was looking ominous.
He was taking pictures off the IG. Cleaning out his social media with Cardinals related content.
The agent was putting shit out.
Agent was putting up bylaws and shit, man. Like Martin Luther, man. Like, you put that shit up on a door. Like, that's crazy.
And yet, he signs a 5-year extension worth total of $230.5 million, and $160 million of that is guaranteed. So he didn't get the nasty guy, the Deshaun Watson fully guaranteed contract, which I think is interesting in the sense of, is that contract going to be an outlier? Or and I don't know if Kyler was the guy to try to get it.
Right.
But the next guys that would have the elk to try to get it, you have your Justin Herberts coming up, you have your Joe Burrows coming up.
Yeah.
Like if they push the issue, like, I don't know, man, shit in Cincinnati can get a little dicey real quick. You know, they have a little
those two teams in particular, because their owners and management are known for, you know, being a little tight-fisted, the Chargers and the Bengals.
Yes.
You know, like, those are going to be interesting. I think Herbert would be a little easier. But Burrow, man, Mike, man, I don't know, bro. Like, that's going to be interesting, bro. I can't wait to see that.
It is. It's going to be super interesting to see how it works out. But what were your thoughts when you saw this Kyler deal? Because pretty much everybody, Kyler Murray, Cliff Kingsbury, figuring their little alcoholic GM. Oh, man.
Steve Kline.
They're all tied in and locked in together for the next, like 4 or 5 years. Like Kingsbury got like a 6 or 7 year contract.
That was crazy. Like that was crazy to me. That's crazy to me.
I'm pulling it up right now. It was like a long time. I was like, y'all bringing him back for how? So they are tied to Arizona, to the Cardinals, until 2027. That's 5 years from now. Now, maybe, you know, extensions mean nothing in the grand scheme of things. Like, they could be gone in 2 years. But essentially, this trio are all tied together potentially until for the next 5 years.
Yeah, and, you know, it's interesting, man, because they haven't really drafted really well.
No.
I feel like the coaching is, like, you know, with all the shit they talk about Kingsbury, I'm not really seeing it. You know what I'm saying? Like, and maybe I'm wrong. Like, maybe it's more of a personnel thing, but I'm just not seeing, you know, what he really brings to the table. But, you know, I mean, I guess the stability is worth something, and they can all just figure it out together, bro. Like, and I wasn't surprised when I saw the news. Like, I didn't react at all because I knew it was going to happen. Once I saw that Kingsbury and got extended and stuff like that, I was like, you know, all they got to do is find the right number. And he's getting, what, 160 guaranteed? Like, yes. That'd be crazy. That would have been crazy just 2 years ago. Yes. But now... Now with the Deshaun Watson deal, it's like, oh shit, you know, maybe he left something on the table. What's crazy is think about like 2012, only 10 years ago, Drew Brees signed that $100 million deal, $20 million a year. And like I remember Adam Sheen and people like that, like, oh
my God, I remember, bro.
Yeah, this is greedy. He's so greedy. $100 million, $20 million a year, bro. Like backups getting that now.
It's wild. It's absolutely wild. It's interesting you brought up the point on Kingsbury, because I agree with you. Obviously, I don't even have bias in me because he played at Texas Tech and he was a head coach at Texas Tech. But what I said on Twitter, to like a thread, because someone was shitting on him as a coach, which is completely deserved. But I said, it's crazy because he probably has the best eye for quarterback talent, maybe in the NFL. Anything else is any, and like to me, that's a like, man, if I was a team,
worth a lot. That's worth a lot.
If I was a team and he didn't work out a head coach, I'm employing you just to like do, like you're gonna do all the cut ups of the draft prospects coming out because he has that eye. So like the three that he's hit on during his career in the NFL or at Texas Tech, Patrick Mahomes. He got Baker Mayfield. Say what you want about Baker Mayfield, he ended up being the number one pick in the draft. So at some point he was talented enough to go number one overall in the NFL. And then Kyler Murray in an offseason where they had just drafted Josh Rosen 10th overall the year before, he came in and said, "Nah, that ain't gonna do it."
Like he that put ain't his job gonna
on the line. On his line. And they had the number one overall pick and they drafted a quarterback and they zigged where most teams would have probably doubled down and tried to make it work with Josh Rosen. I'm not trying to excuse him being a bad head coach, but I do think like for him to be so right about being right about quarterbacks, like that's a crazy talent to have.
Oh, it's look, like it's worth a lot, man. Like I don't know how much it's worth, but like if you can figure out the quarterback thing, that is worth a lot. Like that's worth the salary on its own. Like you said, man, like I pay him just to do that.
Right? So, that's it, bro. That's it.
And, you know, it's not like he's a bad head coach or a bad offensive head coach, but it's just, you know, you can just tell he's green, hadn't been in the NFL. You know, he hasn't developed a coaching staff. Like, those things just take time, man. So, you know, on the one level, it is kind of good that they extended him. So it just gives him the time, which is something, you know, a lot of people don't get these days in the NFL. It's time to just mature and get better. And the same goes for Kyler Murray, man. Like, I feel like people were writing him off too quickly this offseason. just like, you just trash. I was like, damn, like I know the dude, like, you know, there's some things that are questionable that we heard about, and you know, he hadn't been perfect, but like the dude ain't trash, but like no, he throws some of the, he got some beautiful throws. He's athletic. He's one of the best running quarterbacks in the NFL. Like, there's a lot there. There's a lot there that you could work with. You know, does he deserve what he got? I don't care about that. There's a lot there that you could work with. A lot of teams would give up number one overall, like first round picks, easy, to get Kyler Murray.
Because the question is, if it's not Kyler, then who?
Then who,
bro? Like, no, man. But I still think that this season they may have a shit year, man, because that roster, we talked about NFC, it just feels gross. Anyway, I don't want to talk about the Cardinals anymore. I just wanted to hit on that news.
Too much Cardinals.
Let's talk about Saints, bro. So, Saints, babe. It made me nothing. It made me nothing, Ryan. Not a single thing. But today it gets reported, four training camp starts, Marcus Davenport, Michael Thomas on PDP, bro.
Yep.
Part of me is like, the reasonable fan, part of me is like, it makes sense. Like, especially for Michael Thomas, it makes sense. They're on PUP. They can come off at any time during training camp. Anytime can come off. And begin, resume practicing, what have you. But there's another part of me is like, for real? like for real? And I know you tweeted about it. But like, what were your feelings on this being announced? I know Saints Twitter kind of blew up, and there's a lot of like angst on the timeline, I guess you could say, or your feelings about a win.
I mean, I would have been shocked if Mike Thomas wasn't on PUP. I'd have been shocked. Because it's just, he's just not ready yet, man. He's not ready. And the thing is with PUP, if you don't start him on PUP, you can't put him back on.
Correct.
You know what I'm saying? So even just from a precaution standpoint, you got to start him off there, you know, especially Mike Thomas. And I just expected him to be there because, I mean, just the most recent video, we saw him running routes, cutting. You could tell he's progressing, but he still isn't where he probably wants to be. So it just, I mean, I don't know. It just made sense to me. Like, I assume he's going to start on the PUP. When he'll come off, like, we'll see, bro. Like, I am not about to predict anything. I've been holding the same line for 2 years now. Like, when I see Mike Thomas, that's when I start really assuming maybe he could play. But right now, I'm just not assuming anything, bro. I don't know if he's going to play week one. I don't know if he's going to play week eight. I don't know. I ain't seen him.
Does he play week one? Well, you kind of said it. I was about to ask you, like, does he play week one?
I refuse to predict it. I can't. Like, it's an information problem. I don't even have the information to work with. Like, from the cuts I saw him making, I think he's progressive. He has no setbacks. I think he could get to the point where he's playing week one. You know, he would not play in the preseason. I think he'd be on the PUP for, you know, a week or two, at least. It's going to take time, bro.
It is, man. It is. And it's just one of those things where it's like, I'm like you, man. I'll believe it when I see it.
Right, but I will say this though, bro. I've noticed like some national media kind of talks about Mike Thomas like he kind of a knucklehead, like he doesn't want to play.
Yes,
like they just don't, like, you don't know what you're talking about. Like, Mike Thomas is crazy, bro. Like, Mike Thomas is like every single tweet that's being tweeted about him, he is keeping a ledger of all that shit. Like, that shit, he is so pent up. Like, I know he is just pent up and frustrated, and he is harnessing all that negative energy into getting back, you know. So, you know, I hope, hopefully his body reacts how his mind is, and it just all comes together, because that's the only difference. It's like, he could walk all he want, but it's all about the body and how the body reacts. And hopefully it just all comes together because he's still, you know, youngish. He should heal properly. Hopefully the doctors did a good job by him. But man, if he does come back, bro, and he's healthy, bro, like that dude, I swear his first game, man, he is going to be a terror.
It's like if he can come back healthy and or anywhere close to his familiar self, man, he's gonna be like the Bride in Kill Bill, bro. Gonna have that list.
Man. Telling you, just go. Like, he gonna tweak probably all night. If he have like a great game when he first come back, man, he tweeting all night, bro.
All night. Can we keep? Can Marcus Davenport keep his name?
I don't know, man. I don't know. I'm shaking ground right now, bro. I'm shaking ground, man. I know he lost his finger. You know, that's crazy. Like, it's crazy, bro. I just want him to be all right, man. It's just like, Jesus, bro.
And let me say this. I just want to say, obviously, we talked about this. We understand that athletes are people, so we're not trying to make any type of light of the situation or anything like that. But God damn, man! Like, and Eric on Twitter, shout out to our dude who that homo. Pretty much like, I didn't fact check it, but it sounded right. But he said that since he's been drafted, he's missed more games than he's played in. Which
sounds right.
Sounds accurate, bro. It sounds accurate. I guess the good news is that at least Peyton Turner didn't end up on PUP.
I was kind of surprised by that.
I was too. But when you saw. Marcus Davenport was on put on PUP. Like, what was going to be in mind?
I just shake my head, man. It's like, is it just the finger? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, he should be off PUP soon, bro. Like, if it's just the finger, but if it's like some back issues and all that, man, it's just like, come on, man. We need Davenport. Like, the defense is going to be what it's. You know, expected to be, Davenport is a key contributor. So it's just frustrating, you know, with what they gave up to get him and the fact that he does have all this pent up potential and ability. It's just like, man, just figure out this availability problem. Figure that out.
I don't know what it is. Someone brought this up. I think it was Jeff Novak on Twitter or whatever, who said that a name that was not on PUP, we already talked about Peyton Turner a bit, is Taysom Hill, which I found very interesting.
I completely missed it. I was like, oh, you're right.
Yeah, he's not.
That's crazy. I was on the Twitter Spaces with Ralph last night, and I talked about that. I was like, man, like that dude, we might not see him for a while. The fact that he's not on PUP, like, man, he's good. Like, he's clear. Good to go.
That's wild, man. Like, and I'm pretty sure, like, they'll take it easy in training camp. But the fact that he's just not even on PUP is a very encouraging, optimistic sign. And I feel like I don't want to downgrade or not just give the emphasis of how big it is that Jameson is not on PUP.
Yeah, that's another one that kind of flew under the radar. It's like,
right, because it feel like people's been expecting it.
Right, I was expecting him to be on PUP because, I mean, come on, he's coming off ACL, and I know he hadn't been wearing the brace much and this and that, but still, just like from a precautionary standpoint. But like, he full go pretty much.
Yeah.
Like, that's crazy.
I mean, it's a pretty small list, thankfully. And hopefully, once training camp gets underway, at some point, both Marcus Davenport and Michael Thomas can come off PUP. I don't even want to go through, like, the PUP rules, but I feel like we should, in terms of just for our listeners, because the rules can be confusing. So once a player goes on PUP or added to the PUP list, they can, which stands for physically unable to practice, or yeah, I think it's practice, maybe it's play. It means that they can go on it, but at any time they can come off. They can come off of it anytime from when they're put on it, and they can only be done at the start of the season. It gets a little tricky though once the season starts, because, well, one thing is when they're on the PUP list, they don't count towards the 53 man roster, which is big. And then you get up to, it's like a certain week. I'm trying to look it up. It's like week six,
yeah,
or week seven. And then by that time, if the team doesn't take them off the PUP list, they miss the entire season. So I mean, it's training camp, right? So it's, in actuality, it's probably not like a huge idea or a huge deal. Physically unable to perform. That Marcus Davenport and Michael Thomas are on the PUP list, but if, as training camp goes on, and you know, more practices pass, and they still are still not on the PUP list, then that's when it gets tricky. Okay, so it says players on the PUP list may not practice or play the first 6 weeks of the season. After the sixth week, the player must be allowed to return to practice, placed on IR, or released within 5 weeks.
Yeah.
If they return to practice, the team has 3 weeks to decide to place them on IR or they can resume the play. I have a feeling that both will at some point, will become off the PUP list.
Yeah.
Prior to training camp being done.
Right. I'm talking to Mike Thomas. By the third preseason game, he's not going to play in it, but I think either by that game or after that game, he'll be off the PUP and he'll be able to just take part in normal practice and kind of build himself into getting in the groove with Jameis.
Yes, cutting a little close, bro.
Yeah, man. But you know what? I would rather him play it safe than sorry.
Like, yes, absolutely.
I would rather just like Mike just feeling great, you know, rather than coming off feeling like, I don't know about this ankle. Like, I want him to feel just great about the ankle and just ready to go. Like, let's go. Let's work.
And confident in it.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see how it plays out. I know I'm going to be on vacation next week, bro, but, you know, at least – they get 2-3 practices in, bro. I just want to just chop it up real quick while I'm having a little break. I might record having like a lava flow or a mod top, bro. But I want to just, you know, training camp's picking up, bro. Football's around the corner, so we'll figure that out. But let's get into our exercise. So we're gonna, Ryan and I each have 5 questions that we've come up with. I'll say one. Ryan will say one. And when we say one, we're going to just discuss it in depth. And I'll start with this. I know that there's been this buzz on social media, you know, Will Lutz working out with Jameis, Will Lutz is back, which is great. You could say that, it is a fact that if the Saints had a decent, healthy kicker majority of last season, they win an extra 1-2 games. That's facts. Just facts. But I guess my question is, which Will Lutz are the Saints going to get this season?
Mm.
Are they going to get the kicker that became was so good and so clutch, et cetera, that it led him to being a contract extension. Or is it going to be the kicker that prior to him going out, with some inconsistencies, who's missing some gimmies? Now, I do. What's kind of been out there was the injury that he had that made him miss all of last year was a reason why he was kicking so poorly towards the end of two seasons ago. But kickers are just different. Psychologically, yes. It's different. Like, physically, kickers can be fine. But if they have the yips, psychologically, we might have to get Dr. Lindsay Mitchell in here to talk about that. But it's a completely different breed than I would say any position in any professional sports and just the psychological toll. Because once you're done as a kicker, you don't bounce back. So my burning question is that which Will Lutz will the Saints see this season? Because I think he is a very important piece of the team that's kind of going under the radar because everyone just assumes, cool, Will Lutz is back. Boom. Automatic. We need to see it first.
I agree, bro. Like, we need to see it. And, you know, things took a turn fast, man. Look at Gary Hartley. Man. Remember, you know, he had that great playoff run in 2009. Got hurt early in training camp 2010. Went on IR, and he was done, bro. Like, his career was a wrap after that. Like, and he was young, too. So, you just never know. We'll see, man. Like, I hope he bounces back. If he could just be a consistent force, man, doesn't have to be a weapon, but man, just hit those 40 and under consistently, hit those extra points, bro. Extra points wasn't a gimme last year for us, no, bro.
Nothing,
bro. Extra points was like, ooh. So, like, man, just give me that. Give me that, man. If you can't hit the 50s and the 52s and the 57s, okay. You know, it sucks, but I can stomach it. But, man, give me the 40s and under, bro. That's all I ask.
That's it. That's it, man. So, I mean, it'll be interesting to see how things look in training camp and preseason. Like, that's something I'm interested in. In preseason, like, I have my eye out for it. If he's kicking in preseason, which I'm assuming he should be, I want to see, like, these bitches clean, he pulling them, like, anyway. So that's my first burning question. What's yours?
My first one is Pete Carmichael. Mm. Particularly, not just is he going to be good, but how is he as a game planner? You know, when we face top five defenses that have like a star cornerback or, you know, star pass rusher, Aaron Donald, whatever. How is he at coordinating an offense? Because it's his job to pull in Doug Marrone and pull in the new wide receiver coach they got, running backs coach, and coordinate that shit, man. Like, here's your job. You need to do this. You need to do that. You need to do that. I need to study this, blah, 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 blah. Like, put it all together, be a leader, and really bring together a good plan on game day. And teach it to the team, to the offense, so they can execute it. I just want to know, is he that guy? Can he do it? You know, Sean Payton, you know, he was a master at that. I remember Mike Westhoff, the Saints special teams coach for a couple of years, he was on a podcast talking about, he said, I mean, he's a dude that's been in the NFL since the early 80s, like all my life. And he said Sean Payton was the best game plan, game day coach he's ever been around in his life. He said he'd never seen nothing like it. Like, it was just everything he pointed out during the week happened on game day.
That's wild.
Now, you can't expect, you know, Pete Carmichael to have that. You know what I'm saying? But you've been around Sean Payton like 16 years, bro. Like, hopefully some of that rubbed off. Like, hopefully you picked up something, you know? So that's my burning question, man. Like, I want to know if Pete bought that, if he got that, if he got that life, man. He bought that life, bro. He didn't want the job.
Damn, this man wanted to be on vacation.
Yeah, he wanted to work from home, bro. He wanted to work from home. Like, man.
He was trying to tell it to me, bro. Yeah, man. Like, and this is the thing where preseason is not going to tell us anything. It's not going to tell us anything. We're not going to gain anything from it in preseason. But yeah, it is one of the biggest questions of the entire season. Easily. My second burning question, sizzling, is I know I've talked about this a lot, so I feel like I'm beating a dead horse, shooting a dead horse with a shotgun. Don't come at me, PETA. But is the 2020 draft class going to step up?
That's going to happen.
If the 2020 draft class could just be average, I'm not asking for them to be good. I'm not asking for them to be great. If they could just be an average, mediocre starter, right? And all these Madden ratings are coming out because Madden 23 is going to come out soon, whatever, same game, just updated ratings. And if, like, Cesar Ruiz could be, like, a Madden 70 player, like, 70 overall, bro, like, that was his Madden rating, but, like whatever that meant in, like, real life.
Yeah.
Like, that would be great. Like, if Adam Troutman could be, like, a 70-rated Madden player at tight end, I'd be okay. Couldn't they just be average? Because if they could, the holes on the team at positions that they play, like, it becomes like, okay, like, it's not the greatest, but, like, we could get by. So I think I know the answer to it. You alluded to it. But, and I'm not trying to be, like, the type of person who's like, oh, we're going to just double down and something fallacy calls. No, that's not what I'm saying. My question is, can they raise their play to average? Because if they can't, by next offseason, one, probably two or three of those players from that draft class will no longer be on the team. Two, I've tweeted this, I truly believe it, if their play doesn't even go to average, to me it's easily the worst Saints draft class that they had in the Sean Payton era. It's not even close to me, bro. Like, it's that bad.
It's a bad draft, man.
I get it, bro. I done seen all the drafts. I do them every draft season, bro. But red, bro. Like the red wet of draft classes, bro. It's bad. So that's my second burning question is, can they just go? Can they be average? Not good, yeah, just average.
It's a good question, man. I don't see it, but it's possible. You know, it's possible. We'll see. You know, Ruiz can. You know, I think he has the athletic ability to be average. Adam Troutman, maybe the light comes on. You know, and this dovetails into my second burning question. Will they let Zach Bond brush the passer?
We didn't plan this, folks. We didn't plan this.
Just sometimes, man. Just, like, let him brush the passer. Sometimes. It's just eight snaps a game. Eight snaps a game.
I wish you could see me right now, bro. Like, as soon as you said that, like, I put my I crossed my arms and I just shook my head because I was just like,
nope.
No,
but if not, then what?
What
is Zach Bond's role on the team?
Special teamer.
I mean, come on, man. Like,
I mean, That's what it's shown to be, bro. Like,
especially, I mean, is he that great of a special team? Is like,
no.
Like, give me Smoke Monday or somebody. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's like, if that's the case, just cut the dude. Like, cut him, trade him for a 2025 seventh round pick conditional. Like, something, man. It's like, man, let him get 8 to 10 snaps a game rushing the pass. And just see. Maybe he's trash. You know, but I don't think Zach Bond is trash. Like, I just can't forget that Ravens preseason game.
Can't forget it, bro.
I can't forget it. That just told me he has something there. There's something there.
There's tools, something. Bro. There's tools.
There's tools to work with. It's on you, Dennis Allen and Ryan Nielsen and whoever the linebackers coach is and whoever. It's on you to figure it out and to unlock that and get some kind of value out of it. You're not going to get a starter. We get that. You're not going to get a starter out to deal. But get somebody that can contribute, you know, like whether it's like a, you know, just like they got, you know, with Anthony Hargrove back in the day or who's my dude that annihilated Kurt Warner, Bobby McCray.
Oh, Bobby McCray. Like,
Bobby McCray, just something, just be that, you know what I'm saying? Just some kind of value that you could bring to the team. But don't let him just be like a special teamer that's just going to be cut at some point. Like, use some of that ability. You know, so that's my burning question.
Yeah, it's a great one, man. And it's funny that, you know, we're saying this because, one, I feel like this is like a Groundhog Day podcast, but one, like, neither of us love Zach Bond coming out at Wisconsin. Like, we saw, like, okay, whatever. Like, he's fine. But didn't love him. To think that they saw him as like a first round, second round talent,
man,
is absolutely troubling. But the good plays, the good snaps we have seen, like you said, that Ravens game, he was all over the field, bro. I was like, oh, these niggas done fucked up. Zach got the bonfire. Shout out to Joey for making up that nickname. And then that he had that one game, bro, and it was
That was it.
It was it, bro. That shit was put out in week 2 against Carolina against the healthy Chris McCaffrey, bro.
Ooh-wee.
That. But it feels like defensively, it's like they're putting a square peg in a round hole. Like, this man does not play, like, he is not a coverage linebacker. He's not a downhill linebacker. This man was a pass rusher at Wisconsin. Like, 90% of his snaps were rushing a passer. It's one of the things, even though I didn't love him as a prospect, I watched him, I was like, okay, like, he can get out the passer pretty decently. And as soon as he was drafted, oh, he's going to be our Mike linebacker. What?
Like, right? Go watch fucking TJ Watt snaps at Wisconsin or something, and then just try to figure out how he translated to the Steelers. Like, figure out something, man. Like, come on now.
Like, that was his teammate.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know if they played together. I think maybe they did, but like, even whatever, they worked out together. What? Figure it out, because like you said, if they can't figure it out, he shouldn't just be taking up a roster spot, is just how I feel about it. He shouldn't be. Great burning question. My third one, and I feel like people are like, damn, Adam, you really into special teams tonight? And I guess I am. This is more of a training camp one, though. But Blake Gilligan had a great season last season. Like, I know it wasn't his rookie season, but he had a great season. Just came in and just, man, he was one of the best players on the Saints last year. Like, that is not hyperbole, people. He was that good. And so I'm pretty sure his job, he has great job security. There's this one punter that just, if you just read reports from minicamp and OTAs and, man, it's this Daniel Whalen kid who's a rookie, and like his name just kept flashing, right? Just flash. So my question is, who's going to be the Saints punter? And I know people are like, oh, it's going to be Blake Gillikin. And it probably will be. But I think it's a little under, and people might like, these niggas really talking about punters? Yes, we talking about punters. This is a Saints Twitter podcast. Punters are like crucial members of football teams, bro. Yeah, like, yeah. Especially like with this defense, like having a great punter and this defense is a weapon in of itself. So my question is, like I said, who's going to be the Saints punter? I think it's going to be Blake Gillikin. But if I was the Saints, I would purposely show off Daniel Whalen during training camp. And as long as they're confident that Blake Gillikin still got it, he still got that shit he had last season, and he's great. Man, I know there's some teams out there might throw you a sixth round pick for a punter. You know, and if he has great preseason tape and he's like pinning them bitches and coughing, kicking, and it's rolling out at the 5 and the 10, like if you a team, you're like, man, I give up a Benz for it. Because having a great punter is a weapon. It's a weapon. Oh, yeah. And so I know it seems like a silly question, but that's one of my questions is what's going to happen at the punter position for the Saints in training camp.
Oh man, I feel like that's one of the positions you really should have a true competition. And you know, you have the space for it because all they're doing is punting. Like, so I would have them doing them coffin kicks and pinning dudes back and all that shit. I'm having them do that all training camp, going back to back during the preseason. We know they're gonna punt a lot in the preseason. So it's like I wanna see it. I wanna see it all. It'll be a true competition to me, man.
Yes.
I mean, at the end of the day, it's like, look, you're not investing a ton of money in a punter. You just want the best player. So, you know, I think Blake will probably win it. But who knows, bro? You know, because this dude, like, who was Blake? You know what I'm saying? Before he got here, you know, but he came into camp. It was showing stuff. Saints had ties to Thomas Morstead, so they kind of let him ride the pine a little bit. But that shit was written on a wall early. Like, Blake was coming. And same thing can happen to him. So I just want to see it happen, man. I just want the best punting unit. Probably like the more you could pin those guys back within the 5, man, it does so much for the defense.
So much, man. So much. What about you? What's your next one?
Well, kind of been on my mind, but I might take some heat for this
one. Oh, I'm ready. Let's go.
I want to know where is the Alvin Kamara from about 2 years ago?
Oh, man.
And I'm not saying he's fallen off. You know, he's had like 8 different quarterbacks. He's still like super gifted. We've seen it. We've seen it last year. Still like super gifted. But I want to see more of those Alvin Kamara games where it's just like he had one last year, you know, against like Seattle. You know, the year before that, he had that one against the Vikings. But it started feeling like it was just too few of those type of games. I know last year he missed like 5 games. So I'm not blaming it on anybody. I'm not blaming it on him. I'm not blaming it. It's just I feel like he's the face of the franchise. Yes. He's the face of the offense.
Yes.
So I just want to see more of those Alvin Kamara just games where he's just everybody watching know he's just the best player on the field. Because he is. Like he is. Man. He is the best talent. He's just one of the most talented players you ever see, bro. So yeah. I want to see that. It's unreal, man, and I just want to see that because it's exciting, man. It makes you love football, watching him. You know, I keep seeing retweets of the plays he had, like, against Green Bay.
The Packers, bro.
Packers, yeah. Like, I need that, man. Like, I want some more of that, you know. And hopefully, you know, him and Jameis get, you know, a little more chemistry together, get on the same page and stuff. Then hopefully we'll see that. But, like, that's my burning question, man. Like, will we get that Alvin Kamara back? Let me get that because they tried, you know, Sean tried to use him as like a bruiser last year. And, you know, I mean, it was fine, but, man, I don't like that. You know what I'm saying? I want him in the passing game. I want him in space. I want him smiling and laughing. And, you know, he just was – he was a dude, just a lunch pail dude last year, just about his work, getting it done. I want the Kamara that's just got the whole dome just rocking.
So, you are 100% right in everything that you said. I think some of that may be tied to your question about what Pete Carmichael does as a coordinator. I think they go hand in hand because, like you said, last year, and I remember you tweeting about it, we talked about it on the podcast when we were doing the recap shows, bro. Sean Payton was just calling this predictable. And I'm not trying to denigrate Sean Payton as a head coach or a play caller, right? He's earned his stripes. And I get it. He had Jameis and then he had different quarterbacks.
No wide receivers.
I get it. But there are these play calls, bro, where it's like, oh, quarter running back dive to the left. Running back.
Yeah.
Maybe we're gonna do a zone stretch play to the right. And it just came to the point where, like, defenses knew. Like, it was just so predictable. But to your point, I know we've talked about this again, about Sean Payton or play calling, and it also goes into your question about Pete Carmichael's play calling. What happened to AK lined up in the slot? What happened to him running, like, long – wheel routes or him coming out the backfield of matchup against a linebacker, able to run a choice route and just shaking linebacker. Like, there's not a linebacker in the NFL that can guard him one-on-one. There isn't. I'm sorry. That's not a homer. That's not being biased. Those are just facts. If he's in space, if he's running a choice route where he dictates where he goes on that route coming out the backfield, there's not a linebacker that can stop him. Where is that? Where is it? And so – probably it's and so to, I think to your question, we gonna see it seems like it's been a little of everything, right? He's been injured and dinged up the last couple of years. It's been some bad play calling. It's been some bad offensive line play. Kind of goes into my question about the 2020 draft class.
Yeah, quarterback and play, all it. Yeah,
wide receiver. But I think it's a great question because if AK can become the AK of his first three seasons or his first two seasons in the league, bro. And you pair that with Jarvis Landry, Chris Olave, Dante Hardy. That's what we need. Like that's what the Saints need. And I know we're talking about him. We have no idea what's going to happen with this legal situation.
No idea.
No clue. But I agree. I agree with you wholeheartedly. That's a great question. I don't think you should get heat for it because it's a legitimate question. It really is. Okay. I like that we're doing this episode. It's really getting the juices going. This is my fourth one. So I got one left after this one. So this was not a hot take or anything. And I know we kind of talked about it a little bit in the past before. But my question is, how much crow will we eat on Alante Taylor?
Mm.
Just the question I'm asking, bro. Like I just get this feeling.
We're gonna eat a lot, huh?
I got a feeling that we might be going like it. It might be worse than Pete Warner, bro. Like, and we were down on Pete Warner, but I just get this feeling that he may come into training camp. And he may play so well in training camp where it starts eating into the snaps of Bradley Roby, who, like, I kind of forgets even on the team sometimes, so I just be honest with him. And he may play so well that he may start eating in the snaps of Paulson Adebo.
Yeah.
He was a third round pick last year and played great as a rookie. Like, yeah. I know we joked around, we call him Don't Back Me, Bro. It's still funny. I love how a lot of people on Saints Twitter also call him that now. But do you, like, I just want to put in the context for Alante Taylor, who's a second round pick, who's a rookie, and I'm not saying this hasn't happened yet, but if it does happen, for him to come in and play so well that he can unseat a player who was drafted in the third round, who has already had NFL experience, played very well in spurts last season. Do you remember that last INT he made against the Falcons in the last
season? Yeah, man. I'll never forget. And it was like, it was so great because we know what happened in the first Falcons matchup. And just the fact that he was ready.
Man, what like poetry that is.
Poetry, bro. That is the perfect word. It was poetry. I was just like, that's what I'm talking about. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, that's what you want. Like, if I was like the assistant DB coach, boy, I'd have been just on the ground, just like, that's what the fuck I'm talking about.
Because that just shows so much growth, right?
Yeah.
He gets beat on that play against Cordero Patterson. And that ends the game. Like, that's how they lose that game to the Falcons. And yeah, that's a great point I hadn't really ever thought about. Like, him making that insane interception. So, all that said, for Alante Taylor to come in as a rookie and he may be on the same footing as Paulson Adebo, bro.
Yeah. Because it's, you know, and it's not a knock on the Paulson Adebo. It's just that if, you know, Alante Taylor has that, you know, has that skill set and that size, you know, like, it's like that bad thing in the room, man, that bad dime that walked in the room. It's like, you can't deny it, boy. It's like that size, length.
Oh, it's July. She got the summer dress on? She got the summer dress? Okay.
So it's just like, you know, it's just, you got to give it to him. You know, you got to give it to him. You know, I hope if he does get it, you know, if he does, think about it. If he gets it, he's going to earn it. Like, it's not going to be given to him.
That's going to be the most intriguing, like, the most fierce competition at cornerback.
Oh, yeah.
And
no question.
Let's just take a step back to think how far we've come, bro.
Mm.
Like, we about to go, as fans, we're about to go into a training camp with the Saints, where it's going to be Adebo, Bradley Roby, Alante Taylor battling for playing time and who's going to start. And like, whoever goes to the bench, right? If Paulson Adebo starts, you got Alante Taylor that maybe can come in and you don't feel like bad about it. Or,
right.
Or you can just, by matchup of like, okay, we take, like, there's a bigger receiver, we want him. Like, bro, it's insane. Like, we went from.
It's insane.
Fred Thomas, Jason David, Brandon Browner. Like, I can list them all off. Corey Wright. Like, I can list them all off.
Oh, my God.
It's crazy for them to be where they are now, how far they've come, one at the defense, but especially in the secondary.
I mean, just last season.
Preseason,
remember Sean Payton saying cornerback is a must. Like, it's a must position that we need to fill because Jack Rabbit left. They never filled that position. You know, they didn't know what they had and Don't Vax Me. And they wind up trading for Bradley Roby, giving up third-round pick because they just didn't know. You know what I'm saying? And it's just crazy how things can turn. So hopefully it stays healthy. Everybody stays healthy on that area. And, you know, like, with Marshawn Lattimore, I haven't looked at it yet, but I'm pretty sure, like, the few games he's missed, we've lost. Like, he's that important to the defense.
Yeah.
So if they can get some more corners in there that's good, they're not going to be Marshawn Lattimore good, but if they're just good, that at least gives you the depth to where you can survive if, you know, Marshawn Lattimore got to miss a couple games with injury or whatever. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, it's – as a Saints fan, you have to, I mean, that's one position that should put you at peace of mind.
It's crazy. That cornerback put us at peace of mind. Cornerback,
bro. Cornerback.
I was ready to give Delvin Bro, you know, $16 million.
The bag, bro.
Get the bag, man. Like, we just was thirsty, man. Thirsty, so thirsty. And it wasn't just us. It was Sean Payton. Sean Payton was trying to fly, what's his name, out on a private jet.
Josh Norman?
Josh Norman.
This man wanted Josh Norman, Tremaine Johnson.
Who's like, the Patriots guy, the dude that intercepted?
Malcolm Butler.
Malcolm Butler. Like, we traded Brandon Cooks, had that first round pick. We was begging New England for Malcolm Butler. Begging.
Wow, man. That's wild. And like, I remember that was like a hot debate on Twitter. It was like,
yeah.
I wouldn't trade it for. So I'll take an L on that one. I was wrong. I was wrong. Because I was for trading the first round pick for Malcolm Butler, bro. Thirsty, bro.
Like, you ain't wrong, man. Like, the debate was like, damn, we got to trade a first and Pam. Like,
yes, you know what I'm saying? That was it. And it's like, and it goes to the whole fetishizing about draft picks, because people who fetishize about draft picks, when the draft pick is right, when you hit on it, that pick was Ryan Ramczyk. Like, so, you know what I'm saying? Anyway, what's your number four?
Well, you took a little of my thunder, because my number four was going to be, can Alante Taylor unseat Don't Vax Me, Bro?
Oh, was that it?
Yeah. But I come up with something else.
Yeah, you got it.
Burning question. This is the burning question of 2022, bro.
Yeah, man.
Can Doug Marrone fix Cesar Ruiz? Can he fix him, man? Can he make him just an average player? Just average, an average guard in the NFL.
You know how I know that this question, like, you're very, like, animated about this question, bro? I hear the church speaking over there, man. You moving. You, like, moving,
beating the team. Like, give me a 77 PFF grade out of Cesar Ruiz.
Fix this nigga, please, Lord. Put your hands on him.
Just be there. Be the speed bump. Like, can he do it?
We gonna see, man. I'll say this. All jokes aside. This training camp preseason is the biggest training camp preseason of Cesar Ruiz's professional career, at least up to this point.
Yeah.
Because I'm not going to say this with, like, a lot of confidence, but I do have some confidence in it, is that guard spot at right guard, there's not a competition for it. There's not going to be a competition for it. I don't. You can take that what you will. I don't think you're going to see Throckmorton in there. I don't think you're going to see Landon Young in there. Think for all intents and purposes, it's going to be Ruiz's position, and they just praying that he gets better, right? But this is kind of like a bonus burning question that I have, like a follow-up to the question that you just asked. So it's not my fifth, but it's like a bonus question, is that if he can't be an average NFL guard, starter, what have you, will the head coaching staff have the balls, or just the courage to do the right thing and just say, we gotta just take an L. Like, we just gotta bench him. Cause up to this point, bro, like, I haven't seen it. Like, and maybe it was Sean Payton and he felt tied to him because that was like one of his draft picks. But like, will Dennis Allen just be like, man, this man is causing our offense to just be in the mud? And that's why, yeah, I think the preseason for him is going to be important, because if they line up in preseason, man, if he's still just getting blown by, like we've seen numerous times before, if he out here trying to pull and like this nigga on a slip and slide and just whoop, 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 right, like looking like a Three Stooge, bro.
And look, man, I hope Dennis Allen is about that life, bro, because I mean, he's done it. Like, when he took over after Rob Ryan left, and he came back 2016 as the DC, first thing he did was move Stephon Nate in that strong side linebacker, which meant he was done. Like, he just basically ended Stephon Anthony's career, because who the hell plays Sam linebacker anymore? You know what I'm saying? So,
right.
And we all saw that. Like, we was like, oh, he's Stephon Anthony Sam. It's like, man, it's like 8 snaps a game. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, so, you know, like, and that was huge, bro. Like, for him to come there and it was Stephon Anthony's second year, and he had, like, statistically a decent year prior to that as a rookie. For him to say, nah, this dude, he's not going to start on my defense. Like, that took some, you know, it took some gumption, some nuts. So, you know, hopefully he still has that in him, and he has the eye on offense to look and be like, look, man, it ain't going to work. Like, it's not working. So hopefully that's the case, bro. Like, I just want it to work. I don't care if it is Ruiz and he develops. I don't care if it's not a Ruiz, it's somebody else. I don't care. But we can't have what we had last year, bro. Last 2 years.
Can't do it. I can't do it. Like, maybe we can because it's good content.
Yeah, that's true. But you got Pete. Like, we already got to worry about Pete. And Pete coming off injury, bro, that's another low-key thing. It's like,
what,
Pete.
What? He went on PUP, though, thankfully.
Went on PUP, but it's like, man, Pete. I don't know, man. Like, Ruiz took some heat off Pete, but
he took a lot of fucking heat off fucking. Like, that's how bad it's been. Like, to the point where, like, we're just outraged. Like, just outraged. And it'd be like, oh, man, Pete Pod. But this nigga right here? We'll fight this nigga. All right, this is my fifth one, so this is my last one. I want to make it good. Ooh, I kind of have two I want to go with, but I'm gonna go on one because we said five. So my question is, how? And this is a little. It's a kind of complex question, I guess, but how well does Tyron and Marcus May need to play to make up for Marcus Williams not being on the team?
Yeah. It's a good question, man. Like, he got to play really well. And I talked about this on the Spaces last night. Like, Saints fans need to prepare themselves for, like, some busts and some, you know, uneven play early in the season by the defense, especially the secondary, because you're losing Marcus Williams, who's been there since 2017, and Malcolm Jenkins, who, you know, is just a smart veteran who's been seen it all, done it all, you know. And, you know, Tyron, he's a veteran, too, that's been seen it all, done it all, but he's in a new offense, I mean, new defense. And, you know, Marcus May in a new defense, and he's going to miss the first couple games. So it's like, you know, it's going to be tough, bro. It's going to be tough.
It is, man. It is. And I'm not saying it's obvious. I'm not saying it's impossible or anything like that. But I just do think Saints fans – maybe just underappreciated how good Marcus was and
I agree.
And what he did at his position to make up for a lot of plays that you didn't see. But I just think it's an interesting question, man. I really do. And another little question I would have is that when Marcus May isn't, like, when he's not being able to play because maybe he's serving, like, a 1-game, 2-game suspension, whatever it is, like, who's taking those snaps? I would assume it's PJ. I would assume it's PJ. But
Justin Evans.
I see Daniel Sorensen out there, bro. We meet. Dennis going to have to meet me on airline. Week one,
bro. Man, I don't think
one.
I don't think Tyron Matthew allowed that, bro.
Yeah. All right. What's your what's your last one to wrap it up?
Next one kind of late, man. Like, what's the next Saints theme song? Like, a couple years ago, we had what, Chopper Style? Chop, 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 chopper style. Years, like, I mean, for the longest, they kept that.
Stand up and get crunked?
Stand up, get crunked. Like, come on now. Like, that's too old. I feel like we need a new, you know, a new song, especially if the Saints get rolling, bro. Like, come on, man. This is going to be a fun team. Like, this will be a great time to have, like, a fire-ass, you know, just theme song, you know, for them to act a fool in the locker room after the game or whatever. So what's that song going to be? I have no idea. I am completely out of touch with music today.
Bro, we don't even throw no songs out there because we gonna sound old as fuck. So
old as hell, bro. Like, I don't know. And look, it doesn't have to be a new song. Look, Chopper Style was, you know, came out in like early 2000s, like 2001, 2000. Chopper himself performed Chopper Style at our party I had when I was in college at Nickel State. It's November 2000. And we, you know, he was these rappers. One of the dudes that was in our little crew, he knew Chopper and Hot Boy Rhino and all them. He was like, yeah, that's my people, man. We're going to bring them. They can perform at our party. And he brought them. I didn't even know what it was. And I remember Chopper performing Chopper Style. Or like, it wasn't the one that came out, but it was like a similar version. Gotcha. I was like, oh, man. And they had to fuck it, man. Bro, we was rocking in there, bro. Like, that party is legendary. But anyway, it's just, you know, it doesn't have to be a new song. You know, it could be some old Cash Money shit, some No Limit shit. Just got to be some down south New Orleans shit. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
So I just hope that y'all Saints fans out there listening, like, inspire whatever song that is. But it got to be real. It got to be natural. The players got to like it. You know, it just got to be organic. You know what I'm saying? You can't force it. You can't vote on it and decide what song it's going to be.
No.
It has to come naturally to the team. And I just want to see that.
No, man, that's a good one. That's a real good one. I don't know what that song might be either, but I think you said a good thing. I think you said an important thing about it is that, like, they got to, like, be winning and, like, be rolling, bro.
Yeah.
That's when.
Because if they're winning and rolling, it's going to come. Like, it's going to come next.
Yes. Yes, if they not doing so well, bro, no one will be taking out. No.
I don't remember the game. I don't know if it was the Philly game or the Rams game, 2018. And somebody posted a little clip from it on Twitter. It was just like the dome was rocking.
It was the Philly game.
The Philly game. The Rams, Mike Thomas on the sideline just doing the get your roll on dance.
That was the hype, bro. That was the hype.
Kamara was just smiling. Mark Ingram was just dancing. It was just like, that was this is it. Like, this is what it's all about, baby. You know?
That was the peak, bro. That was the peak. It's been some blooming shit ever since, man. But with that said, it's not all of our questions, but those were our 10 and a half burning questions that we have for the 2022 Saints before training camp gets underway. It's funny because doing that makes me like, I feel like every day I feel like, okay, football's getting closer. And like that fire's coming back, wanting to talk about it more, wanting the season to be here. And I'll say this as a Saints fan, as a football fan, I don't think. And it has nothing to do with that, the actual construction of the Saints team, although it helps. But I don't think I've been more excited for a season because of the small niche little community that we've cultivated and built on our Discord, the things that we have in store for the upcoming season, having the Zoom chats and the live watches of games, and just having, you know, maybe 10 plus people in a Zoom all watching the Saints game and just having that live reaction of joy or just like this motherfucker, like, you know, just that part of it and that anticipation of it honestly makes me more excited than anything I've probably been in a while for something football related. So thanks. So if you're listening, if you're part of your Patreon, thank you so much. If you're not a Patreon, we still appreciate your support. We appreciate you listening. We really do. But if you truly want to experience all the things we have in store this upcoming season, our Zoom live stream that's going to be put on YouTube, our VIP get together before the Raiders games, we're raffling off a ticket for that Raider game. We're also raffling off two tickets for a Rams game. Just excited, man. Like, we're trying to do so much with our podcast. And that has me very excited. That paired with, and we got Chris Olave and Jarvis Landry and Honey Badger on the team, bro. Like, that's just a fun. It's a fun time. To be a Saints fan. Still, you know, as Ryan and I always say, don't invest your fucking feelings and emotions in these games now. No, don't do that. Don't do that. But that I am really looking forward to for this upcoming season.
Hell yeah.
So please, if you have the ability, if you want to be a part of it, become a Patreon. We do have a lot of exciting things upcoming. I mean, let me look it up. Like, the preseason game is what? August 13th, bro? What? Oh,
man.
That's simple, bro.
Man, that's coming right around the corner.
Today's the 21st. I'm on vacation next week. Like, it's like, that's crazy. That's crazy. We will be watching football in some capacity on the 13th of August, which is a Saturday. It's 7 p.m. Central Time. So for me, it'll be 5 p.m. So that's when the first Zoom live stream is going to be. Like, that's what it is. I'm going to already start getting it together. I'm going to put it in the schedule. And for people who are already in the Discord, I'm going to send the links out. So if you want to be part of it, y'all gotta holler at us. Go to our Patreon, become a part of it. We still want the goal that before we get to the regular season, we want 200 Patreons. We're hoping that we can get there.
We're ways away from that.
We are, but I do have faith that as the season gets closer, we'll also hopefully get closer to that goal.
I hope so.
We're 74 people away.
We got some things coming, man. We had a Zoom meeting with Minute Media last week. They're trying to do some big things and grow the podcast network they built. They got like 100+ podcasts on their network. Trying to do some things with advertisement. We're moving to a new platform as far as, like, you know, hosting. My plan is to start having all our podcasts on YouTube, whether it's audio and video. We'll figure that out. But we just want to grow this thing, man. We know YouTube is a big thing and video is a big thing. You know, this me and Adam, we just not big video guys, but something we might just have to, you know, learn to live with, you know what I'm saying? So we trying to make this a long-term thing. So don't sleep on us, bro. Like, we about to come with it. We're not content with it just being this.
Yeah, absolutely. Although I do want to say, like, a little small comment about the whole Minute Media thing, bro. Like, my cat, our cat, I should say, our cat has like a Brandon deal before our podcast got one, bro. That's legit. little fucker ambassador getting free shit sent to him. Got a whole coupon code, bro.
What?
Yeah, bro. My girl created a fucking Instagram for him just for fucking shits and giggles, bro.
Man.
Anyhow. August 13th, first preseason game. preseason and training camp's about to pick up. So we're going to be recording more episodes. We're going to try to have more guests come on here before the start of the regular season. So be a part of our community. It truly is a fun community. I know a lot of people in our Discord is super excited about the season starting again, because the season is starting, but the community's in place and all the things that are going to be happening during the season. So anyway, thank you for listening. I really enjoyed recording that episode. That was fun. It had some hard hitting questions that we talked about. So thanks for being a listener. We appreciate your support. Only thing I would ask for people is that if you can't become a Patreon, if you could just do two things: retweet the podcast on Twitter, if when it's posted on Instagram, like it and put it to your story if you can, and then give it good reviews on iTunes and Spotify. So at the very least, if you could do that, we would truly appreciate it. We will be back next week. Even though I will be in Hawaii, I do intend for us to record an episode after a couple of days of training camp being in, because we know that y'all want to hear our thoughts on training camp. So we will have something up next week, even though I won't be at home. So thank y'all guys. We appreciate it. With that, we're out.
Peace.